How about now?
Hey. Sorry, preacher, we accuse you of giving us a bad battery. It was not you. Somebody's else. Anyway. All right. God is good. Well, it's my joy to be with you here today, and I hope and I pray that this will be an open eye for all of us to learn the truth about Islam. All what we know about Islam, literally, in America, is a non-Islam. In a way that if you open your TV or if you read some material written by the media, liberal or non-liberal who call themselves conservative, I believe they are one of two. They are those who are, I call the ignorant, who do not know anything about Islam, or those who are living with the political correctness and they don't want to offend the Muslim. Well, I'm sorry. I don't want to make Muslims feel good about themselves and they spend eternity in hell with the Prophet Muhammad. I want to love them for real, and I want to lead them to Christ. And that is the true love which we should offer to any Muslim. You see on the map here, this is, I cut a little bit short. We left the introduction. I'll share this with you in the next session. This is the Muslim map just 100 years after Muhammad claimed to be a prophet. And if you look at the map speaks for enough words that will save us a couple, 3 hours. It is the true practice of the teaching of Allah in the Quran. We see it on this map. You see, you think about the Muslim world are Arab, and Arab are the Muslim world. But in reality, 87% of the Muslim today, 87% of the Muslim are not Arab. Only 13%. So Islam starts from the Arab land of Saudi Arabia, which is the small section here. You see that? This is Saudi Arabia Peninsula. To all this land, and all this land were non-Arab. As a matter of fact, until today, 87% of the Muslim around the world have never read the Quran. They have no idea what's written in the book. And if you say, oh, good, there's only 13% are the bad ones. No. 80% of those who perform Islam, they're non-Muslim. Those who are going out of their way to die for the sake of Allah, killing some infidels, they're non-Muslim by the meaning they do not know what's written in the Quran. You do not have to know what's written in the book to go and take an airplane to a building. All what you know is that the imam will tell you, that's what Allah commanded us to do, let's do it, and you go out and do it. There is no such a thing as a good Muslim. And Muslims get upset with me when I say there is no such a thing as a good Muslim. Because the good Muslim is a bad Muslim, and the bad Muslim is a good Muslim. If you think right here, why are these terrorists doing what they're doing? There must be a bad view. No, these are the good ones. These are the believers who practice what Allah commands them in the Quran, as we're going to see in a little bit here. So, somebody said, well, good Muslim or dead Muslim? I said, no, not even dead Muslim or good Muslim, because guess what? They're right now burning in hell. They lost their soul. They are victims of the cult of Islam. Look at the map here. The Turkish, until today, does not speak Arabic. The Iranian, Afghanistani, Pakistani, the Indonesian. I've been into Indonesia twice. I did some mission work there. 210 million people live in Indonesia who never read the Quran. When I say never, I mean never. Give that. I sat with doctors, I sat with professors, I sat with imams in Indonesia, and I opened the Quran Arabic because he cannot read it. And these are Muslims dying every day without Jesus Christ. Now, how in the world Islam spread all over these countries? The Muslims translate the Quran to their language of the land, and they went knock at door after door, and they share the love of Allah and the love of Muhammad and the love of Islam with the people of the land, and people accept Islam. No! That's a lie. They went there with the sword, they killed the male, they raped the wife and the daughters, and they got pregnant, and the baby was born by these Muslim names. They do what we call ethnic cleansing. That's how Islam spread. The maps speak for it. Let's go to Iran, let's go to Turkey, let's go to any of these Muslim countries and talk to the Muslims. They know nothing about Islam, neither them nor their ancestors. So how did they become Muslim? Study the true history. They came to Egypt, they killed 4 million Christian men in this 100 years, and now Egypt, 87-88% Muslims. Do the Egyptians know what's in the Quran? No. What's happening last week in Egypt, what happened yesterday in Egypt, is a great evidence, and I praise God for that, that the Muslim in Egypt, until today, do not know what Islam is. They're rejecting Sharia, Islamic law, as if you tell me you're a Christian, but you reject what the Bible teach. How can you be a Christian and live in disobedience to the Word of God? These Muslims, the 35 million we saw in the streets of Cairo and all over Egypt the last 3 days, they are rejecting what Mohamed Morsi want to do, the previous president, the ex-president of Egypt. And what Mohamed Morsi want to do is exactly practicing the word of Allah in the Quran. But Muslim Egypt do not want it. Why? Because they do not know it. They do not know that is the real Islam. Islam spread by the sword. I'm going to show you in the verses in a minute. This is the line, the timeline of the existence. Here is Adam and Eve, 4,000 before Christ. And here is Muhammad, 610 years after Christ. And Muhammad came to do two things. To deny the deity of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And to deny the work of the cross, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And Muslims in America have no problem whatsoever to tell us and to teach our children today in our public schools about these two lies or these two mistakes which you Christian fallen in. The deity of Jesus and the work of Jesus on the cross. They have no problem to say Jesus is not God. And it's not politically correct for me to say Muhammad is a liar. Because, excuse me, if Muhammad is telling the truth and Jesus is not the Son of God, that means Jesus is a big fat liar. Or if Jesus is telling the truth who he is and what he has done is true, that means Muhammad is a big fat liar. One of the two have to be a liar. They cannot be both telling the truth. They can only, both of them, tell the truth if you are ignorant of both. We don't know who is Jesus and who is Muhammad. But as I read the Quran, as I studied the Hadith, Muhammad's own words, I found that Muhammad to be a child molester, a sex offender, a prophet pretender, a womanizer, a warmonger, a thief, a killer, an adulterer, a very wicked, sinful man. And if that's who Muhammad is, according to the teaching of Allah in the Quran, according to his own word and his own action, then I'm sorry, Muhammad is off. He's out of the charge. Jesus is God Almighty, He came in flesh. And Jesus bound the cross and rose again. And everything has been said in the Quran and Muhammad's words in the Hadith is a lie. This is where Muhammad was born. Saudi Arabia. That is the piece of land all the way from Midian here. All this land is the Arabian land. Beside that, there's no Arab. I wish I have time to talk about where Arab come from. Arab are not Ishmaelites and Ishmaelites are not Arab. Ishmael have nothing to do with Muhammad. Muhammad did not came from Hagar. Muhammad came from Keturah, the wife of Abraham. Genesis 25. And that's where they live, in the land of the east. That's not our topic. I can get into it. Mecca. That's why I would love to come back in the future. Bless me again in the future. We'll take each one of these seminars in a 2-hour session at night. Maybe we can give it a little bit of service. Anyway, Muhammad was born in Mecca, lived in Mecca, worship his own God, the black stone, like everybody else who have a God, of all the idol worshippers, until he turned 25, he married to a rich lady by the name Khadija, and then he continued to work for her for another 15 years. At the age of 40, he went inside some cave, and in the cave he saw a spirit, a vision, one of a kind. Because none of the prophets we read about in the Bible had the same experience. Where somebody squeezed the air life out of him physically and he asked him to read. I'm not kidding you. Somebody go around him and squeeze the air life out of him and he could not breathe. And he said, read. Which, recite. Read out loud. Read what? He said, I'm not able to read. I can't read. I'm not reading. Muhammad said. And that's when Allah gave him this first chapter in the Quran. اقرأ باسم ربك. He ran home to his wife in a cold winter night, sweating of fear. Zambiluni, cover me. He was shaking. Have you ever seen any prophet does that? In the Bible? And she performs this great test of her. It's available online. It's called the test of Khadija and the proof of Muhammad prophecy. That's when she took some clothes off and the spirit left the room and she assured Muhammad this was godly spirit. This was Angel Gabriel. It's a long story. Go watch online in our video revealing the truth behind the Muhammad movie. Don't forget what the Bible said. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Perhaps Muhammad saw an angel. Perhaps he even saw an angel of light. Could it be Satan? Yes, indeed. I believe Allah is Satan. And I'm not saying this to insult Muslim, But that's the reality. Read the Bible. Read the Quran. Compare the two books. You found that Allah is Satan. Quran chapter 1 verse 1. And Muslim pray, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Who is the Lord of this world? Who is the God of this world? Allah in the Quran said, they deceive, and Allah deceive, and Allah is the best deceiver. Who is the best deceiver? Allah in the Quran said, He leads people astray. Who leads people astray? Satan. Allah in the Quran said, He desires to fill hell with people. And who desires to put you and I in hell right now? Satan. As a matter of fact, Muhammad in the hadith said, the fuel of hell is the bodies of the Christians and the Jews. Who is this Allah? Read the Quran. You find Allah is Satan. And that's the reality of the God of Islam. Satan himself. This is the book of the Quran. In the middle here, there's two names, two words for the title of the Quran. Al-Quran al-Kareem. Two simple words in Arabic. And all the 30 English translation we have for the Quran, not one person was able to put it right. They call it Holy Quran, Final Testament, Glorious Quran, or whatever other names you put in it. No, that's a lie. You cannot call the Quran holy because it is an unholy book. Read the Quran, America. It took me 4 years to translate this book. And my heart desire is for Americans to save America from the cult of Islam by simply reading the Quran. It's been 12 years almost since September 11. And we still ask the question, who did it and why they did it? And we spent few billion dollars to investigate who did it and why they did it. And all it takes is $20, read the book. And to make it even easier and cheaper, I sent my translation to every senator, to every congressman, to every governor, to the high Supreme Justice Court. I spent more money in 1 week than I ever spent in this ministry. And sadly, until today, I doubt any of them have read the book. It's called the Generous Quran. That is the real name. Kareem means generous. Quran Kareem, Generous Quran. They can only call this book holy if they physically punch a hole in every copy. But besides that, it is not holy. Why? Bible, the Bible says thou shalt not lie. Muhammad said lie. And Allah said lie. The Bible says thou shalt not steal. Muhammad said steal. The Bible says thou shalt not commit murder. Muhammad said kill them. The Bible says thou shalt not look to lust after women. Muhammad said kill the husband and rape the wife and the daughter. How can they both be holy? Yes, they can both be holy, only if you are ignorant of both books. It is an unholy book. If I give you a container of salt, and I change the title from salt to sugar, how sweet do you think the salt will be? Still salt. It doesn't matter what you put on the label. That's why I beg you, read the Quran. Learn Islam from the heart of Islam, from the foundation of Islam, Allah's word itself. Now the Muslim believe not only in the Quran, but believe in another book, which is called the Hadith. It's actually volumes and volumes, which is a collection of the saying of Muhammad. Now the action of Muhammad is called Sunnah, way of life. How Muhammad did it, so will Muslim do it. So the saying of Muhammad and the action of Muhammad plus the word of Allah in the Quran, that's where Muslims live. By the way, Muslims believe in Sharia. We maybe talk about this tonight if we get time. And Sharia is Islamic law. It is the command. It is the law written in this book. And the law written in this book. The word of Allah and the word of Muhammad, that's what Muslims live by. That's why I say you cannot separate Islam from politics. When you put a Muslim man in the White House, you end with Sharia in America. He said, you don't separate them. You see, you can put some guy by the name Bush in the White House, and he believed in Jesus, and he kept his Jesus for himself between his heart and God and the church. But when you put Muhammad in the White House, he will force you to believe in what's written in the book, one way or another. And believe it or not, Obama has done a great job to spread the road, to fix everything for Muslims to take over this country. The Muslim Egyptian rejected from power the last few weeks in Egypt. It's called Brotherhood. We kicked them out of office in Egypt after trying to get this office for 80 years. It is the same Muslim which you welcome in the White House, in the Homeland Security, and in FBI and CIA. And these are the Muslims running your country right now. Maybe we'll cover a little bit of this tonight if we have time for it. It's a very important map. I say it many times. If America can understand this map, we can save America from the cult of Islam. Because we have two different Islam. We have the Makki Islam and we have the Medini Islam. What Muhammad said in the Quran in the early 13 years when he lived in Mecca, and what Allah's final words through Muhammad in the last 9 years before Muhammad came back to Mecca. Muslim in America right now, you can have the best Muslim neighbor. He will carry your bag. He will cut your grass. He will smile on your face. He will truly, truly, as you can see at the outside, a good decent man and a good decent family. Why? Because they're practicing the early Mecca Islam. And they knew that this will not last because they're going to change their Islam to the true Islam. What is the true Islam? The Medini. Abrogation is real. If you get any of my translation of the Quran, read this new article in the front. It's called the Doctrine of Abrogation. What is in the Doctrine of Abrogation? That Allah changed His mind, and all what He said to Mecca in the early days, now He gave Him new verses, new teaching in Medina. Yes, Muslims quote Quran chapter 2, verse 62. Where in it we know that Christians and Jews and Muslims and Sabaeans, which are the worshipper, if they believe in Allah and do good deeds, they will make it to heaven. But Muslim will not quote you Quran chapter 3, verse 85, where Allah said, the only accepted religion is Islam. Otherwise, you are among the losers. You see the difference? Why Muhammad changes mind? No, it was not Muhammad, it was Allah. In the early days, when Muhammad was weak, he liked everybody. But later, when Muhammad could not find any hope, that he will make people believe in him, and he was almost about to lose his life. He emigrated from Mecca to Medina, and in Medina, Muhammad began to write the new Islam. And believe it or not, Islam birth was not at the birth of Muhammad physically. Islam birth was not at the time when Muhammad received the revelation in the age of 40. Islam birth began when Muhammad emigrated from Mecca to Medina. And the new verses of Medina is the real Islam. And that is what you're going to see in America 25, 30 years from now. It is the verse of Allah in Quran chapter 2, verse 216. Allah said what?
War is decreed to you, and it is hated by you. And perhaps you may hate something, and it is good for you. And perhaps you love something, and it is evil for you. And Allah knows, and you do not know.
You know, this verse speaks volume to me. Why? Because from this verse I found that the problem is not in the Muslim people. The problem is in Allah. The problem is in Muhammad. Muslims hate to kill Christians. Muslims in Egypt, the 35 million who went in the streets the last few days, they are a great picture of that. They're Muslims, but they don't believe in that. And I thank God they do not know Islam. Because if all the Muslims in Egypt know Islam, there will not be a church in Egypt. Allah commands Muslims to engage in war. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about 79 verses in the Quran. 79 verses where Allah commands Muslims to engage in war with us. Nizam Ali Hassan telling the truth even after yesterday, Friday in the court in Fort Hood. This Fort Hood shooter, he said, you wage war against Islam. I said, no, we have not engaged war against Islam. Islam engaged war against us. Terrorization of the world did not begin in September 11. It began when Allah wrote the Quran 1400 years ago. When Allah tells the Muslims what to do. Engage in war. He said, I know you hate, it is hated by you. You, Allah knows he hates to kill us. But perhaps you hate something and it's good for you. And perhaps you love something and it's evil for you. And Allah knows and you do not know. 79 times. And if you read the interpretation of Muslim scholars to all these 79 verses, you will see that is to perform jihad. Every one of these verses, that is to perform jihad. And when you go to 31 verses in the Quran where Allah mentioned jihad, the interpretation by Muslim scholars, that is to engage in war. So jihad in the Quran interpreted to engage in war, and engaging war in Islam in the Quran interpreted to perform jihad. And now we get Obama say jihad have different meanings, different interpretation. I did not know that Mr. Barack Hussein Obama is a Muslim scholar, because he's given me his own opinion of what jihad is. The Quran is not open for opinions. It is already interpreted through the light of Muhammad and the action of Muslims the last 1437 years. Listen to Muhammad's words. And by the way, you will never hear what I'm going to be talking with you, sharing with you the next few minutes on Fox News. You will never see it or hear it on CNN or any media in this country. As a matter of fact, big churches will not have me because it's very, very unpolitically. It's not correct for us to read the Quran. You know how ridiculous it is when I go to big churches and the pastor do not want me to read the Quran for his people? Because it will make Islam look bad? Shame on these ministers. They're wolf dressed in sheepskin. They talk about Jesus, but in the same time they're preaching Satan. Because if you don't expose the wrong, you don't, at least for the love of your own people, you should tell the truth. Forget about the Muslim. Here's Muhammad's word.
I have been commanded to engage in war against people till they testify to the fact that there is no God but Allah and believe in me that I am the messenger and in all that I have brought.
Is this the prophet of peace? Is this the prophet of love? He was commanded by Allah to engage in war with people. Are you American people or you are some bugs and some animals? Why are you? Let me read to you the verse again. I have been commanded to engage in war with Americans until Americans testify to the fact there is no God but Allah and believe in me, I'm his messenger. Why can't we have this on Fox News? Which one of you will be upset if Fox News read to us the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7? Will you be upset and you go burn the TV station? But believe it or not, if you read this on Fox News, Muslims will burn Fox News. Because they don't want you to know the real Islam. Because they're here to take over your country in the propaganda, loving, peaceful Islam. Here's the Muhammad words, according to the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari. So I get you. The Quran teach hate, Muhammad teach hate, and Muslim scholars teach hate. Listen to what Tabari said.
Arabs are the most noble people in lineage, the most prominent, and the best in deeds. We were the first to respond to the call of the Prophet. We are Allah's helpers and the viziers of His messenger. We engage in war with people until they believe in Allah. He who believes in Allah and His messenger has protected his life and possessions from us. As for one who disbelieves, we will engage in war with him forever in the cause of Allah. Killing him is a small matter to us.
Do you speak English in this church? Do you understand what we just heard? Islam spread by the edge of the sword. You want to protect your wives? You want to protect your children and your possession? Accept Islam. Which means surrender. Submit to the Muslims. Submit to Allah. Because otherwise, killing you is a small matter to the Muslims. And that is Islam in a nutshell. Okay, here's what Allah said in the Quran, 9:14.
Engage in war with them. Allah will torment them by your hands and put them to shame and give you victory over them and heal the chest of a believing people.
Who are them? All non-Muslims. As Muhammad said, he is commanded by Allah to kill all non-Muslims until they become Muslims. There's no contradiction in what we're teaching here. That is the final message of Allah. Read the Quran and its interpretation, the Muslim scholars. How about this next one here? Oh man, we got a new opinion here. I'm sorry. You see, our intelligence, which I call our stupid leaders, I don't know how we can make English for this, our dumb leaders, come up with the new study of who are the extremists. Well, guess which one, number one, on the list of the intelligence under Barack Hussein Obama. Are you talking about? You see here, what you're not catching is, Obama is changing America. Years ago, under Bush, we used to kill the brotherhoods. Today, we support brotherhoods. With what? F-16, F-18, tanks, warships, money. All what you need. Why? Because we got new terrorist group. You know what they call them? Evangelical Christian. U.S. Christian. You are terrorists, in Obama's opinion. That's the best, the smartest people work under Obama. They come up with this conclusion just a few months ago. While we are terrorists, here we go, listen to their own belief and their own teaching.
Extremism is a complex phenomenon. It is defined as beliefs, attitudes, feelings, actions, or strategies of a character far removed from the ordinary. Because ordinary is subjective, no religious group would label itself extreme or its doctrine extremism. However, religious extremism is not limited to any single religion, ethnic group, or region of the world. Every religion has some followers that believe that their beliefs, customs, and traditions are the only right way, and that all others are practicing their faith the wrong way, seeing and believing that their faith, religion, superior to all others.
Do you believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Do you believe Jesus is the truth and the life? You're extremist. Well, yeah, Islam, yes, there are some, Vicky, honey, there are some Muslim extremists, there are some Christian extremists, there are some Jew extremists, there are some gay and lesbian extremists, there's everybody extremists. We're all extremists. Why? But why they put Christian number one? Because Christians believe Jesus is the only way. That makes you radical. You know what I told the kids when they go to school? I said, you go to school tomorrow, and the teacher asks you, what 2 + 2 equal? You put a big question mark. And the teacher said, why you did not answer this, honey? Say, because I don't want to be extremist. I don't want to, for somebody else, 5. Maybe somebody else believe it's 8. The truth does not make you extremist. The truth make you telling the truth. And if Jesus said he is the only way, that means he is the only way. What about Muhammad? He's just a child molester, for heaven's sake. 51 years old man married to a 6 years old wife. What do you call him? A loving husband? How old are you, honey? How old is she?
9?
You're too old. Do we have 6 here? Stand up, baby. Stand up for a second, please. Stand up. Can you imagine? This is Muhammad's wife 3 years later. You want me to believe a man involved with a child like that to be a prophet? If that's true, that means there is no God. Period. We believe in a lie. We are extremists, thanks to Obama and the intelligence he have right now. That's the change that took place in America. And you have no clue how much these men have done to you. Get our presentation, Freedom and Surrender. It's available, 2 DVDs. In 3 hours, I will literally teach you a lot of truth about what Obama have done to America. Within the last few weeks of being a president, we recorded in 2009. Lord have mercy.
O you prophet, provoke the believers to engage in war. If there will be 20 patient ones of you, they will have victory over 200.
Who's speaking here? Allah. Who is the prophet? Muhammad. What Allah is commanding Muhammad to do? To provoke the believers. The what? Believers. Allah calls them believers. Muhammad calls them believers. They call themselves believers. Nidal Malik Hassan, up to Friday in our court system, he's telling us, I'm a Muslim believer. And we tell him, no. You're just somebody who got mad at work. Workplace violence. As a matter of fact, we gave him $279,000 up to a month ago. So he already got over $280,000 salary. This is the man who shouted Allahu Akbar and he killed 13 of our people and he wounded 30 more and we still give him his salary. And we call it workplace violence. I think I'll call you dumb nation. Foolish people. Stupid. And after yesterday, his son, Obama is wrong. Eric Holder is wrong. I am a Muslim believer and I killed you because I believe in killing you because that's what my religion teaches. No. You're just, you know what? I guarantee you, if Obama have a word in it, he will say, the man is insane. And that will be it. But thank God, he's his own lawyer. And he spoke enough the last few days to let the world know he's not crazy. You are the crazy people. Now maybe you'll hear me with my passion. So this is probably some I teach hate. And that's true. So far, I was teaching hate. Why? Because I was reading the Quran. Why? Because I was reading Muhammad's words. I mean, when you say somebody, go and kill, that doesn't sound love. And Muslims always come to my meeting and say, you teach hate. I said, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Holy Spirit. You answer my prayer that my sister, this Muslim friend, or my brother, this Muslim man, got to see that what I teach is hate. Now, Lord, will you help them to know that I was just reading their books? Because that's what's missing among Muslims living in America. When I read their own books, they say, I teach hate. Well, good. I'm glad you know that. Now, that's your religion. If you don't believe it, get out of it. We'd love to have you to come to know Christ. I don't teach hate. What I teach is what's written here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 24. Listen to the word of the Holy Spirit, using the same words which Allah used for provoke. Listen to what God said in the Bible.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works.
Muhammad provoked the believers to kill. And God is telling us through Paul, or the author of the book of Hebrews, provoke to love. You see the difference between provoke to kill, provoke to love? The opposite line, the opposite direction, east and west, north and south. And that is the difference between Christianity and Islam. I do not teach hate, but Allah and Muhammad teach hate. And listen to this verse. 9:5 is known by all Muslim scholars to be the verse of the sword. Chapter 9 is the final chapter Muhammad claimed to receive from Allah. Chapter 9, verse 5 is one verse Allah used to abrogate 124 verses in the Quran, which Muslims read to us in America. They're reading to us verses they knew 100% are abrogated verses. I have stories to share, but I don't have time to share anything. Let's go on. Here we go.
So, when the forbidden months are past, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and take them as captives, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So, if they repent, and perform the prayer, and give the legal alms, so leave their way free. Surely, Allah is forgiving and merciful.
Three choices your children or your grandchildren will have in this country 25, 30 years from now. Three choices. Number one, we're going to kill their male to take their female as concubine and slave. Number two, they will just give up their life to be slave for Islam. Number three, they accept Islam and surrender, submit. Kill them, take them as slave, or they repent and convert to Islam. Which one of these three choices you would love your grandchildren to face in this country? Lord have mercy. 47:4.
So, when you meet those who became infidels, so strike the necks until you have made a great slaughter among them.
That's very loving, isn't it? That's why I said, and I always say, it is illegal for Muslims to breathe air, to have O2 inside their lungs within the borders of the United States of America. It's illegal for Muslims to walk in the streets of America. It's illegal for Muslims to open a mosque in America. It's illegal to have a Muslim president in America. Because that is Islam in the years to come. Oh, some Muslim man came in one of my meetings and said, sir, you're wrong. You're taking this verse out of context. You misinterpreted this verse. That verse was written to considering the infidels. Allah did not say, behead the Christians. We love the Christian. We love Jesus. We believe in Prophet Jesus. Really. We're going to talk about this in the next session. We believe in Moses. We believe in Judaism. We believe in the people of the book. Christian and the Jew. And I said to this brother, are you trying to tell me that these people here tonight are not infidels? He said, no, they're not infidels. They're people of the book. They're Christians. You teach hate. So calm down, calm down. Sit down. Have a seat. Let me talk to the church for a minute. And today, this morning, I talk to you. Does anybody in this church, anybody of you believe that Jesus Christ, Son of Virgin Mary, is God Almighty who came in flesh? Put your hands up. That's all of you. You believe Jesus is God? Good, good. Now, here's my next question. Does anybody in this church believe that the God we Christian worship, the God we Christian believe in, is a triune? That is a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Put your hand up. Let me see it. Are you sure? Now, let's see what Allah said in the Quran about you. Quran chapter 5, verse 72. Allah said what?
Infidels indeed are those who said, surely Allah is the Christ, son of Mary.
That's you! You believe God is Jesus, and Jesus is God. How about next verse? 573.
Infidels indeed are those who said, surely Allah is the third of three.
That's you! That's all Christian in planet Earth. Therefore, Muslims are obligated. They have to do what they have to kill us. And you go to Quran chapter 5, verse 51. Hear what Allah said to the Muslims.
O you who have believed, do not take the Jews and the Christians as friends. They are friends to one another. And whoever among you takes them as friends, so surely he is of them. Surely Allah does not guide the unjust people.
Don't take them for friends. You sin to take them for friends. But Brother Isama, Dr. Muhammad is a very friendly guy. And sister, whatever her name, our neighbor, she's a, oh, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, she's a Muslim. They're wonderful, loving, peaceful people. Yes, indeed. Because they're practicing the early Mekki Islam. Simply because they did not have the upper hand yet in America. They are commanded not to take us for friends because actually they are commanded to engage in war with us. The people of the book, the Jews and the Christian, as we read in Quran chapter 9 and verse 29. Listen to Allah's words.
Engage in war with those who do not believe in Allah and in the last day. And do not forbid what Allah and His Messenger forbid. And do not believe in the religion of the truth among those who have been given the book until they pay the tribute out of hand and they are subdued.
As the Christian and the Jew. And I know some Muslims will say, well, there are a few verses in the Quran teach to engage in war. But that's not for killing in people, just for killing people. That's only for self-defense. If you are minding your business, you live in your own room, home, and somebody came to attack you, to hurt your children, to hurt your wife, will you stand up there, look at them, say, come on in, take my house? Or you defend your home? Or you defend your people? Or you defend your city? Or you defend your country? Of course you defend your country. But I say to these Muslim friends, can you show me a verse in the Quran where Allah said, fight to defend yourself? Not even one verse in the entire Quran. And I can share with you over 300 verses in the Quran teach the same message. Hear Allah in the Quran, chapter 9, verse 29, command the Muslim to engage in war with the Christians and the Jews who do not believe in Allah. I don't believe in Allah. Allah is Satan. Who do not accept Islam, the religion of truth. Who do not forbid what Muhammad forbid? I like bacon. I like sausage with my eggs for breakfast. Invite me anytime. I'll come eat in your house. To eat bacon, you are forbidding what you are eating what Allah forbids. Therefore, Muslims today want to have halal food in America. People say, why Protestants make a big deal about food? I said, it's very simple. Because I read the Quran. Now they're eating the lawful food. Tomorrow they're going to kill us for not eating what you all want us to eat. Because Allah said in the Quran, here are the reasons why Muslims are commanded to engage in war with us. We don't believe in Allah, we don't believe in Muhammad, we eat pork and we do not accept Islam. Not because Christian involved in war with the Muslim. There is not one Egyptian cross the border of Egypt to go to Saudi Arabia to engage in war with Muslims. But they came all the way to our country, killing our men and taking over our country. Terrorization, as I said earlier, did not begin September 11. It began when Muhammad wrote this in the Quran.
And he brought down the people of the book who backed them from their strong places and cast terror into their hearts. A group of them you are killing and a group of them you are taking captive.
What is it? Allah is the source of tyranny. Allah is He here. He cast her into their heart. Who is He? Ask any Muslim scholar. Allah cast her into the heart of who? The people of the book. Who are the people of the book? The Jews and the Christian. And then He caused them to do what? To kill some. Do you know who the some they kill? Go ask any Muslim scholars. They kill all the boys who have a mustache and older. And a group of them take as captive. Who are the groups they take as captive? That's all the boys who have no mustache and younger and all the females. And guess what they did after that? They, chapter 33 and verse 27, very important. They did what?
And He made you to inherit their land and their homes and their money, a land which you have never set foot on. And Allah was mighty over all things.
They inherited. After they killed the owner, they inherited. See, you cannot inherit something unless the owner died. They inherited our land and our homes and our money. And listen very carefully, America, because I think what Muslims believe about this is true. And a land which you had never set foot on. You can take this sentence out and you can put, and United States of America. Because they were never here before. And they're immigrating to America. We're going to talk about this tonight. What is the danger of opening our country, our borders, for Muslims to immigrate to America? I'll share with you what Allah said in the Quran about that. Yes, Islam is a loving, peaceful religion. How? Because Allah loves. Really? Listen what Allah said in Quran chapter 61, verse 4.
Surely Allah loves those who engage in war and ranks for His sake, as if they were a solid wall.
Allah loves. Yes, indeed. Allah loves Osama bin Laden. Allah loves Muhammad Atta. Allah loves every Muslim man who stands firm for the sake of Allah. Allah loves Nidal Malik Hassan. And Allah loves Obama, who is protecting Nidal Malik Hassan and who is giving this country to the Muslim people while the church are in a coma. See, years ago I used to teach, the church in America sleep, and I'm going to wake them up. I found that you cannot wake up people in a coma. Try it sometime. Go to some hospital. Stand up to make somebody have a coma and shake him. Put some cough in his mouth. You cannot wake up a church when they're in a coma. And I will blame one people and one people only in America. Not the Republican, not the Democrat, not the Liberalism or Liberty Party. Not anybody. I blame the church. We are the light. We are the salt. And we have no taste in us anymore. And we become like just an empty club. Where is the voice of the church in America? When is the last time you saw the church have unity, even one day a year? We are so divided against ourselves, and that's why we're losing it. Allah loves the true Muslim jihadist. Allah loves the true Muslim. You call them extremists. I'm sorry. Allah calls them believers. I believe they are Muslim believers. Man, this clock is moving too fast. What's wrong with this thing? Let's get to this verse. One very important verse in the scripture. The Bible tells us,
beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
You know, the entire Quran does not have the word beloved. The entire Quran does not have the statement, let us love one another. And here's the truth about our Christian faith as it's written by John in his first letter, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. Are you a born-again Christian? You know how I know if you're a Christian or not? Do you love? And when I say love, I'm not talking about love your wife or love your children or love the members of your church, because even sinners know how to love those who do business with. I'm talking about love as Christ commands us to love our enemies. Love the Muslims. Do you know that there are a few hundred Muslims close to you in where you live right now? Have you ever thought about reaching out to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ to truly love them and reach? They're literally victims of the cult of Islam. And the only way Jesus can be known to these people, if you and I reach out to them with Jesus, they will not come to your church. You have to go to their homes. Christ commanded us to go to Saudi Arabia. And we did not go. He brought the Saudi to America. And we're not reaching out to them. They're marrying our sisters and our daughters. And we're just watching it. Every church I have been in, including this church, people shake my hand and tell me, my niece is married to a Muslim guy. My sister married to a Muslim guy. My whatever married to a Muslim guy. They are marrying you. And you are not loving them. The scripture said, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. Don't you even dare tell me you know God if you don't love. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. I think that the words speak for itself. You examine your heart. Do you really love your neighbors? You see, Muslims are going to love your neighbors. Are going to reach out to them with loving, peaceful Islam. They're going to marry to their daughters or their sisters. And they're going to spend eternity in hell because we choose not to love our neighbors. How many times did you spend time with your neighbor, one-on-one, in their living room or in your living room, to share with them about the love of Jesus? When is the last time you confess to your neighbors that you have sinned against them? Ladies and gentlemen, with all respect, I met with many ministers in this country who knew not the neighbor's name. Can you imagine that with me? I go to the preacher, Brother John. I'm not picking up a specific one. Brother John. And I said, who live in this house in the corner here? He said, oh, I don't know, Brother Usama. Hey, Nancy! His wife. She's in the kitchen. Yeah, Johnny. Who is this people live in the next door house here? Do you know all their names? And I said, I don't know. They have a boy, a young boy by the name Jeremy and another two girls. And I said to the preacher, how long have you been living here? How long have they been living here? Oh, Brother Usama, they were here before we came here. And how long do you live in this neighborhood? Oh, we've been here for like 7 years, 8 years, something like that. A preacher does not know the neighbors who live next for the last 7 years, names. I don't want you to be comfortable. I'm here to make you uncomfortable. Are you a born-again Christian? Or are you just good Baptist? Are you doing your part in the kingdom of God? Or you just we're happy to see you every Sunday and the preacher shake your hand and make you feel so welcome now. We're glad you came today. Oh, and you got your wife with you. Man, hopefully someday you'll bring your children. And if you didn't do that, you don't feel welcome. You don't feel comfortable. Oh, Brother Usama, this church are not friendly. Why is that? Well, they didn't even, they don't make me feel welcome. What do you want them to do? I mean, they just shake my hand cold. Huh. Maybe you need to love this church. Teach them how to truly love one another. Now, there's a big deal about what I'm about to say here. Because we have plenty of Christians in America who are Christian by names. And the action is very simple. I ask my question, which I always ask. Are you a born-again Christian? Can you give me the place of birth and the time of birth? See, I believe the second birth is exactly equal to the first birth. They're the same. Any mamas here? Are you mama? Do you have any children? How? What, the oldest one? 6 years old. And what's his name or her name?
Her name is Mercy.
Mercy. Where she was born?
In Toledo.
Toledo. The hospital home?
Flower Hospital.
Flower Hospital. Do you know what days was? Friday, Monday, Tuesday?
It was a Friday.
Friday. What time during the day?
11 o'clock in the morning. 11
o'clock in the morning? Are you sure? You see that? You hear what it said? She knows the name of her child. She knows the place of the birth. She knows the time at 11 o'clock. It was in the hospital. She knows for sure. Can you imagine if I asked her the same question? She said, I don't remember. I have two or three children. I can't remember. Okay, let's talk about the oldest one. I don't know if she's a boy or a girl. And I can't remember. Honey, was she born in California or Florida? No, it was Virginia, I guess. That means she's crazy or she's not a mother. Are you a Christian? Are you a born-again Christian? Do you remember the time where you gave your heart to Jesus? Do you remember the place where you gave your heart to Jesus? I did not write it in my Bible. I know it was a Sunday evening. I was 11 years old, maybe close to 12. I have no clue, but it was August. So it had to be turning to 12, or just a few months before I turned to 12. And I gave my heart to Jesus in a living room. As this man took his time to share the gospel with me. I'm a son of a Baptist preacher. 11 years old, believe it or not, I was able to stand in the pulpit and preach some of my father's sermon. I know how to sing the song, and I taught Sunday school class for children who are my age, a little bit older too. But after this point, I was not a born-again Christian. You know why? Because I only know it here in my head, but I only know it here in my heart. As a matter of fact, every time my father gives the invitation, say, if you believe in Jesus, you give your heart to Jesus, you get saved. I always think, as I sit in the pew, of all my friends, whom I know are not Christian. I say, man, I wish my friend Nancy is here. Man, I wish my friend Angel is here. If they're here, he gives their heart to Jesus. But I myself never thought my father is talking to me. Or the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. Now, I'm telling you, God is speaking to you. Are you a born-again Christian? Or are you just a good Baptist? Because if you are just a good Baptist, I promise you, you will spend eternity with Muhammad in hell forever. Only through Jesus Christ, for He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one, no Baptist, no Muslim, no Catholic, no Presbyterian, no one can get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Amen? My time is up. The preacher said, stop. Sit down. I am. Thank you so much. God bless you.